Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. John Harding, a professor in the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences at the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Harding.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
As part of a Swine Innovation Pork Seminar planned for January 7th, as part of the Banff Pork Seminar, you'll be providing an overview of pig gut health challenges from birth to market. First of all, a little bit of background. Why has the level of attention being paid to gut health increased so much recently?
Well, I think there's a combination of factors. One is obviously continued relevance of gut health on farms, meaning there's diarrhea across multiple stages that we continue to find challenging and need to find solutions for. As well, we see a reduction in certainly growth promotant antibiotics, but as well therapeutic antibiotics at times. They're being removed from the diets, and sometimes that has resulted in more diarrhea on farms. And we also have some emerging diseases. One example is Brachyspira hamsonii, which is one of the bacteria causing swine dysentery. And I think as well, there's been an increased awareness of just gut health in general. And those really brought on by some societal questions and research pertaining to the microbiome. Most people have heard of the microbiome, and we refer really to the gut microbiome more than the other organs. And it is really topical now, both in human health as well as animals.
What are the key factors that tend to influence the health of the gut at birth, and how do those influences evolve as the pig grows and develops?
Well, I think there's several. Obviously, at birth, the most important factor is colostrum and milk quality and consumption of the pig. The higher the quality, the greater the consumption. I think just the better off pig health is in general. What's also very important in the neonatal pig is allowing a healthy microbiome to establish itself. And that happens during the birthing process and then in the first early days of life. And sometimes that's influenced by the environment, and that's also influenced by the microbiome of the dam. And it's very important to get that established before the piglet sees significant levels of contamination that can be brought on by, you know, unsanitary environments. And therefore, we wash out those crates and we make sure we're applying disinfectants and getting rid of the biofilm. But some of the other factors we need to really keep in mind all the time. Lactational management. We make sure that we have good synchrony between the suckling piglet and suckling litter and the sow to make sure that she comes into full milk production. We want to minimize the use of antibiotics given to both either the sow or the piglet before farrowing, because that interrupts and or influences the microbiome. And all of that is very, very important, as is just the general management and environment of the farrowing room as a whole. All those factors really do affect the piglet at birth, and then a lot of those factors will carry off onto other areas of production as well.
At what stage do producers face the greatest challenges with regards to gut health, and how do those challenges evolve?
Yeah, I think there's three major time periods in the pig's life where it's at great risk. The first is the neonatal period, so that'd be within the first couple of days up to a week of life. And then when we wean the pig, whether that's at 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you know, that period at weaning and shortly after weaning is very, very critical because the pig is transitioning from a milk-based diet into more of a complex grain-based diet and then into more simple diets. And the gut goes through a lot of change at that point in time. And then the third time I see the pig at risk would be in the early grower period. And that's really related to specific pathogens that we've got floating around many of our units, things like Lawsonia or ileitis, and maybe some salmonella in some farms, and even some Brachyspira or swine dysentery. Those challenges do change as the pig grows because the gut changes so dramatically. And we also have the issue of, you know, antibiotics could be used at different stages of production as well, and that may have an influence, as would diets and ingredient quality and just other stresses in the pig's life.
What strategies are currently being used to promote and maintain a healthy gut, and how do those strategies differ through the various ages or stages of development?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's always the hardest one to answer, is what strategies do we have? And I think, you know, across all stages of production, you can't underemphasize, you know, the need for good diets and nutrition and ingredients and, you know, freedom from mycotoxins. You know, that's obviously very foundational. You know, also establishment of the microbiome. So anything we do that disrupts the microbiome is particularly problematic, or could be particularly problematic. And that's really true at birth, but I think throughout the pig's life as well. Going hand in hand with that would be use of antibiotics, that we need antibiotics to treat disease, obviously, but there are times when we should not use antibiotics, and there are specific diseases we should not use antibiotics for as well. So I think anytime we use them, they need to be judicious and used with care. We need to obviously promote better management, better environments for our pigs, minimize stress, and all those things we, you know, keep top of mind in most of our production units these days, because those just need to be minimized to keep happy pigs. And then don't forget, we need to make sure that we have good internal and external biosecurity. We prevent new introduction of disease, as well as, you know, minimize the spread of disease within our units. And those strategies are really important at all stages of the production cycle. Smaller pigs are obviously a bit more susceptible than older pigs, but I think disease at any time and an unhealthy gut at any time will cause production losses.
What additional strategies are on the horizon or are showing potential, and how?
Well, there's a lot of work going on with the microbiome now, and I think we're at the stage where we understand how we can measure it or quantify it and look at the variability. I think the step that's really missing is what we can do to change it. So how would we manipulate it? And, you know, secondly, you know, what would we do to manipulate it, as well as where do we expect it should be? You know, there's great emphasis on trying to find the microbiome that matches the, you know, highly productive pig, but I don't think we're there yet in terms of how to do that and what, in fact, we really need to do. So that leaves us with just traditional methods that we've got. You know, vaccines for specific diseases are important. Antibiotics are important as well if we're fighting off important diseases, and then coming back to nutrients and ingredient quality as well.
What are the benefits of maintaining successful gut health strategies in terms of animal welfare and productivity, in terms of profitability, as well as any other additional benefits?
Well, a happy gut means a happy pig, you know, in quotations. I think that fits the bill very nicely. Benefits, obviously, improving gut health would be in higher feed intake, more efficient feed to gain, less diarrhea, less treatments. All of those factors kind of lead towards just very good productive units where we can minimize the use of antibiotics, and that just leads to lower cost as well as lower risk of antibiotic resistance. So I think that's what it all comes down to, is really trying to get the pig to consume, to grow well, and to use as few antibiotics as we need to onto our units.
What are the potential implications of antibiotic use on the microbiome itself?
Well, that's a really good question, Bruce. And there's no question that when giving antibiotics to pigs, you will induce a shift in the microbiome. And that's more likely to be the case when you have longer term usage. So feed medications, for say, that would be in for a couple of weeks. What's very interesting is that in some cases, the microbiome will shift back to its original state after the antibiotics have been removed. And in other situations, we'll see a permanent shift in the microbiome going forward. And understanding, you know, the consequences of antibiotic use on the microbiome is a really important aspect of research. And I don't think we have all the answers yet, but I think the point for producers and veterinarians to keep in mind is when treating with antibiotics, there are consequences beyond maybe what the intended reason for treatment is. So, for instance, if you're treating respiratory disease, you will have an impact on the gut microbiome because many of these antibiotics work in the gut as well as other parts of the body.
How can anyone interested get more information?
Well, I'll put a plug in for the meeting sponsored by Swine Innovation Pork at the seminar. So that's January 7th in the afternoon. We'll have a great discussion there with a couple of different speakers. There is also a really good review of gut health that has been published in the last couple of years in the National Hog Farmer. You can find that article online. It's written by Dr. Chris Chase from the South Dakota State University, and he goes through various aspects of the gut microbiome, what it means, as well as a nice little review on gut immunology as well. So that's another piece of information. You could just do a search on Google for swine gut health, and that article should pop up.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, I always want to make sure that everybody understands, about antibiotic use in general on farms. We know that they are essential, but we also know that, you know, the more we use them, we have greater risk of antimicrobial resistance. And that's a reality of both human medicine as well as animal agriculture. And we do take our share of the responsibility in that. So I think what's really important is we have to continue to use them judiciously, and we have to work hard and understand when not to use them and when there are other alternatives available. And hopefully in the next few years, we'll understand a bit more how the microbiome of the pig kind of fits into that whole theme of reducing antibiotics to create a healthy gut.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. It's been a real pleasure, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. John Harding, a professor in the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences at the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.